Hey, gang. Before we get going on the show today, I need to make a very important announcement. A very dear friend and a very important member of this music community, bass player and producer George Reef, has fallen very ill with cancer, and he had a tumor removed from his brain on Friday, and he's recovering from that. But this is going to be a very long recovery. He's very ill, and the bills are mounting up. George Reef is an amazing bass player and producer. He has played bass with the likes of Jacob Dylan, Chris Robinson, the Dixie Chicks, Charlie Sexton, and many, many more. He's produced records for Ray Wiley Hubbard, the Band of Heathens, Lincoln Durham, and many, many more. He's a very beloved member of this community. Everybody cares very much for him. And as I said, the bills are mounting up, and his family is going to need some help taking care of things. So they've started a GoFundMe page. You can go find it. It's George Reef, R-E-I-F-F. If not, I will put a link to it in the body of the text of this podcast, and also on our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here on Facebook. So do what you can. Get out there and give to this beautiful, beautiful man who has given so much to this community, who, if you just even listen to music, he's given something to you, all right? Let's band together, and let's do this for George. Hey, gang, let's face it, you're probably listening to this podcast and all the other podcasts on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all of your favorite podcasts? Well, you stream your movies, you stream your music. Why not stream your podcast? Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 30,000 shows right to your smartphone or pad. Get the very best in news, comedy, entertainment, science, sports, anything you want delivered right to your smartphone or pad. Download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. That's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you had a great weekend and a great start to your week. I hope that if you live in Austin, that you're safe and your loved ones are safe from that crazy shooting that happened on Saturday night. I actually had Saturday night off. I went to Sea Boys to see Mike Flanagan and Jimmy Vaughn and Emily Gimbel, and had a great time. Stayed there till it closed. I had a blast that night. I came home. Woke up the next morning to a bunch of missed calls from aunts and people from out of town, like, hey, are you okay? I didn't even know what happened. But then I found out, and it's a tragedy. If anyone you know was involved, I hope that I'm sorry. That's what I'm just sorry. I'm sorry that that happens. I'm sorry that now when we go out at night, we have to worry about people gunning us down, you know? I make my living out there, you know? I'm not scared, but I also don't want to be scared. I don't know when does this violence subside? You know? I don't think it's going to be somebody in office. I don't think somebody that we elect is going to go in there and everything's going to change back to the way everyone likes it to be. I really don't. Maybe I'm pessimistic and cynical. I don't want to be. I want to be hopeful for the human race. I want to be hopeful for humanity, that we can love each other, you know? That we can reach out and make each other feel good and not bad. That's what I'd like to see, you know? I'll tell you someone that's out there doing that. My guest today is T-Double, amazing artist and an activist, a member of the hip-hop community, a member of the music community, a guy that's been on this show a few times already, and I always enjoy sitting down talking to him. He is what is known as probably the ambassador of the hip-hop community of Austin to the rest of the world. His name is T-Double. His new EP is called Ambassador Status. It is out now. It's great. You'll hear some music from it. But he also has started a new project. It's called Black Mics Matter. It's a project that will feature new artists with stories of passion and solutions for the black community and the world during these challenging times. He started a GoFundMe page. You can find it at tdouble.com. He's trying to raise some money so that he can put this project out, Black Mics Matter. It's an album where he's getting new artists to come in and write songs with some kind of social impact and conscience. T-Double is a really great guy and a very special artist. I'm glad that he's part of our community. I'm glad that I'm friends with him. I really, really care about T-Double. And he's always been nothing but helpful and very, very nice to me and to tons of other artists. He's always trying to help out the community. He also keeps his nose to the grindstone. He's always working on something. He's always being active in his community. As I said, he is an activist. So get out there and find out about Black Mics Matter, his new project. He started a GoFundMe page for it. Let's help him get it going. Go to tdouble.com, find out all about him. Pick up his new EP, Ambassador Status. He's a fantastic artist, all right? Let's sit down and talk to this very brilliant, very, very, very giving man, artist, entrepreneur, and activist. Here's my friend, T-Double. Let's get down.
Been a while since I seen this town, the dust blowing open the doors of the saloon. I stepped in, nobody's around, just a man on the piano playing some old tunes. He looks away not to catch my gaze. I walk to the bar and I pound on it firmly.
Come on, technology, old school technology, act right.
Ambassador status.
Earn your keep.
So what does that, what does the title mean, ambassador status?
Well, ambassador status, basically, you know, I did an interview probably back in 2010,
yeah,
for Insight Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And the tagline they put on the cover was Cultural Ambassador of Austin Hip Hop. So I kind of just ran with it because, you know, an ambassador is kind of like a person who, you know, goes to different countries and talks to different people. And that's kind of what I do. I talk to the hip hop community. I go to the city council. I talk to them. I talk to other nonprofits. So I'm kind of like the guy who moves around and does all those type of things. And plus, you know, I'm one of the, probably one of the few lasting, longest hip-hop artists in Austin. So.
What number album is this for you?
Ambassador Status is number 27. It's my 27th album.
Shit.
Yeah.
How, how do you even keep track of them? Like when you do a show.
Yeah.
You just kind of go through the last few and then whatever people really know from your older ones?
Yeah, you know, I basically do the newest material and then some of the older stuff I just kind of freestyle over. Because I'm mostly known for my freestyles. So usually I freestyle over all my songs. But, you know, if there's something that people like or they heard before or they can relate to, like Bringing It Back, which was in Breaking Bad and a few other songs.
Right.
I can, you know, I'll perform those because they'll notice it and remember it.
Right.
So, yeah.
How much of this record, like, how do you put these beats together?
Oh, man. As far as the creating process?
All different ways. Yeah. Because there's some, what I assume are some badass samples in there.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Like you look for jazz stuff.
Yeah, I'm jazz, rock. Like, on this album, well, lately within my last couple of albums, I've been really combining, like, live instrumentation, sampled stuff, and some synth stuff, because I got a bunch of Moogs and Junos and all that. So I'm starting to combine all that to make a whole different hodgepodge of sound. But when I'm creating a beat, it usually starts with the drums, because I'm old hip-hop like that. Mm-hmm. So I start on the MPC, making the drums, might find a sample, throw that in there. And then if there's something within the sample that I like more than anything else, like the bass line or something,
right,
I might replay that on the bass or on the synth and build from that. So a lot of my songs eventually end up way different than how they started.
Right.
During the time period. But I can usually, you know, I can usually from conception of the beat to the finished song, sometimes it can take me maybe an hour. So in a day, on a good day when I'm feeling really good, I could probably do 6 songs.
Wow.
In a day. Yeah. Then I just put them on a hard drive and move on to the next 6. Put them on a hard drive, move on until I'm ready to make an album.
And you're not too precious. Like, you don't sit on them and remix them. You let it go.
Yeah, like, you know, some of my songs got little glitches. Some got where, you know, the flow might stumble a little bit. I think that makes it more human. You know what I mean? So I don't go back and, you know, comp every lyric.
Right.
And make sure that it's just on or the beat is quantized just right. And I like those little glitches, and it keeps it human. It keeps that that live feel of it. Because I've been, you know, I played with live bands, Boombox, Hip Hop Hump Day, all this stuff. So how the drummer grooves and the bass grooves, a lot of my tracks have that flow to it.
Right.
Like a lot of my songs are somewhat jazzy if you listen to them, the way they flow and the way I'm flowing on them.
Let me ask you this. Are you playing much out lately?
Not really. A lot of what I do is basically licensing. So I'm usually in the studio all the time. If I perform somewhere, it's either for a friend's show, maybe, you know, a fundraiser, or maybe a festival here and there, something like that. But I'm not performing out as much anymore.
Yeah, with the licensing, do you have like a guy that does the, you got a connection that's got you, that asking you for music and stuff all the time?
Yeah, I'm with an agency out of New York, and I've been with them for about 15 years.
Shit.
And I'm one of the lucky ones. I've been with them that long. And they just, you know, I create the music. Like, before my album gets released to the public, my agency probably has it a month or two before that. So they're already working it before it gets released. So by the time it gets released, I usually have one or two placements already in place off that album. So it's already generating revenue before it's even released to the public for sale.
That's amazing.
So that's how I do a lot of my music. And then, you know, the tracks that I make that I don't use on the album, I send those to the agency as well. Like, nothing gets wasted.
And where does your stuff go? Is there stuff like incidental music in between, like, action and commercial on, like, a sports or reality show or something like that?
It's all those places. Sometimes it's the bed of the music where there's dialogue. Sometimes it's in a commercial. Sometimes they might, you know, get a track and they say, take the vocals out, take the drums out, and just give them the core elements of a track to put somewhere. So that helps that I own all my music and I produce it all. So if I get an email and they say, we like the beat, but take the rap off, I can easily go into Pro Tools and boop.
You're good, like, fuck you, man. I worked on that rap. Yeah, you know, I mean,
that was actually like my first. That was actually the first thing I had to get over.
Yeah.
When I was doing licensing, because, you know, like, when you're,
it's not you. Yeah, it's that thing.
Exactly. Because when you're a lyricist and you're a rapper, you're like, man, I really worked hard to make that sound witty. And
if they're asking you to change something, at least they're not going, thank you, see you later.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So they'll be like, hey,
still in the game.
Exactly. They'll be like, hey, you know, can you take the rap out? And I'll be like, oh, but they'll be like, we're gonna pay you this much though. Oh, okay. Or we're going to give you this much on the back end for streaming DVDs or whatever.
Right.
So you're like, I'll take that vocal out. It doesn't, you know, it's no biggie. I'll release it on the next album and people can still hear it.
And let me ask you this, because you told me that you're doing advisory stuff with Black Fret.
Correct.
People take a meeting with you?
Yes.
Okay. I've been doing that with the Austin Music Foundation for the last few months. I noticed that the main question is, how do I get this licensing thing?
Right, of course.
Now, my thing has always been personal connections. Like, I tell people, like, you know, at one point I had a lot of songs on Buna Murray production shows, like The Real World, Road Rules, and things like that. A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was a guy that was a huge fan of mine from here that moved out there and got that job.
Exactly.
Is that how you, with your agency, you knew that person, or is there, like... What basically, for somebody listening right now that's like, shit, man, I want my songs out there making some money for me.
The biggest thing is, like you say, build those relationships.
That's,
You know, because I used to work for South by Southwest, so I did all the hip-hop stuff for them, right? I was the hip-hop director. And while I was there, I met this woman who did sample clearances. So she cleared samples for, like, Common, Tribe Called Quest, all the, you know, the big hit.
You make friends.
So we were real cool. And I just, you know, I started hearing from some rock friends and other friends about licensing, getting your stuff in TV shows at the time. So I called her because she was the closest one I knew who did something similar.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what licensing and clearing samples, I didn't know they were two different things. Mm-hmm. So I called her and said, hey, do you license stuff? And she was like, well, I don't, but I have a friend who does. So she called her friend called me. She said, my other friend said, you want to do licensing? I said, yeah. She said, how much music do you have? At that time, I had 15 albums. So I said, I have 15 albums. She was like, okay, cool. So she sent me the agreement. And within a week, I had a licensing deal. And she had never heard my music.
Yeah.
She had never heard nothing I've done. But just because a relationship from her friend who said, this guy's really cool.
Yeah.
You should probably talk to him. Then that made it work. Of course, you got to follow through with the music afterwards.
Well, it also helps to have an abundance of music, to have 15 records.
Yeah. It's all about the catalog. I tell people all the time, build your catalogs, because catalogs don't build themselves. You got to make as much music as you can. Like I say, nothing gets wasted. If I make a track, like, I've had placements for, like, different movies and stuff where they wanted the music to sound not as produced. They wanted it to be a little bit more grimier and rougher. Yeah, so you got to kind of, you got to think in different ways. You know, with us making records, we're always thinking, you know, make it the highest quality for sale. Sometimes they don't want that. They want it a little rough because the scene calls for it.
Right.
All this and that. So, you know, I got a Roland Space Echo. So when I want a little bit more saturation, I'll run my drums or I'll run the whole track through that. Hit that tape, take the delay and take, it's an old trick. You take the delay and turn down the echo, turn both of those off. And you basically got you like, you know, as if you had a 2-inch machine there and you just hit that really hard and it doesn't distort. It just gives it a little bit more fatter saturation and a little grimier.
The longer you do it.
Yep.
The more... Oh, that's awesome,
yep.
man.
Yeah, so I just send that out. You know, it's all about relationships.
I had a Space Echo for a while.
I love mine.
Yeah, me too.
I love, like, there's a plug-in, like Universal Audio makes a plug-in for it. And I was like, that's kind of cool, you know. Because the thing with me is, like we were saying earlier before we went on air, I'm a hardware guy.
Yeah, me too.
So when I saw the plug-in, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I need to go find a real one because I want to touch the real one and hear that so I can have a comparison.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the actual Space Echo and I tried it out, I was like, this is perfect. It has the wobble in it. It's real loose. It was great.
Yeah, it's funny. It's I made the mistake of taking mine on the road.
Uh-oh.
And it just aged it so fast.
Yeah.
It couldn't take it.
Yeah, mine doesn't leave the house.
Yeah. That's the policy I should have had. And it was crazy, man. I spent like,
I'm sure thousands trying to get that thing up.
No, there was one. I remember I bought a new tape at one point when you could, because that was like 1999 or 2000 when I bought the tape.
Yeah, there's still places you can order tape. Like, I have like maybe
five. Because it's an actual tape delay for those of you that are wondering.
Exactly. Yeah. I have like five backup tapes and, you know, packs of felt, replacement felts in there.
You're ready to go, man.
And the little wheel and the oil and, you know. So if the tape snaps, I'm back in action. If something slows down, I can fix it. You know, I keep that thing up and running.
Yeah. So is the third time you've come on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am back.
I think that's great.
It is. It is good. That means I'm being productive. I have stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
That helps.
You're always doing something. Even when I don't see you for a while, I open up the Austin Monthly magazine, and there you are with Britt Daniel from Spoon and Andy Langer and Elizabeth McQueen talking about the state of the union of music.
That was insane, and that was really, you know, a big moment for Austin hip hop to be sitting at that table with, because they've done that before in other issues, right?
Yeah, never with hip hop, you know, guys.
But they never had a hip hop guy there or an R&B guy or anything like that. So for them to invite me, they were like, "Hey, we're having this thing, Andy Langer, all these people."
Is it annoying, though, that there has to be, like, one guy that represents it? I mean, like...
I don't, you know...
Are you cool with it? Like, at least they're acknowledging it.
At least they're acknowledging it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're not really in tune to what's going on in hip-hop scene, so I don't really blame them for, like, not knowing who's doing what or whatever.
Right, but a guy like Langer is very on top of that stuff, and he knows what's happening in the world. And Elizabeth, too, you know. I'm sure Britt does as well.
Yeah, it was cool to sit there. James Moody and Don Pitts. And,
yeah.
All those guys, it was a monumental moment for Austin music right there, and I was proud to be a part of it.
I was proud of you when I saw you in there.
Yep.
I was proud of all those guys.
Yeah, it was great.
There's been some other stuff. What did you do at South By? I didn't see you at South By this year. What'd you do?
What did I do? I basically just stayed in the studio. You know what I mean? I didn't really go downtown. Only really hit South By to go to legal panels.
All right.
So I don't really do the day parties anymore. I don't really do, you know, how to get a record deal panels anymore or, you know.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, that's still a thing. So I don't go to, exactly. That's what I do when people say, hey, there's a panel on how to get a record deal. You want to go? Probably not.
I wonder what they say.
They're like, hey, you know, we'll give you a record deal. You got a lot of, it's all about views and friends and followers. How many you got? If you got those, we'll give you a record. And, you know, record deals are up for grabs now. Anybody can get one, you know. And it's bad for the artists because they think they don't need talent. They need followers.
Right.
Right. So if they get 1 million followers, they instantly going to get label attention.
Yeah.
And then when they put their record out, because the music industry now is back to the 12-inch model with single downloads. Right. They put you out, they put one song out by you and see how many downloads it get. If it does good, they might follow it up. So it's just like a 12-inch. You sign a new artist, you put a 12-inch out. If it sells, you put another one out. If that one sells, you might do an EP. If that sells, you might do an album. That's kind of like how the old model somewhat used to be. So with streaming and all that, you know, they sign you. They put that one song out that you were popular with on SoundCloud. But followers never really translate to sales. So if you have a million followers and whatever, a million people aren't going to buy that record. Right. It might be 10,000, if that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a roll of the dice, but artists are willing to take that chance, you know. And I stopped following that a long time ago and was like, I'm going to do my own label, my own publishing company, my own studio, my own manufacturing, my own graphics design, my own licensing company. I'm doing all that myself because why give other percentages to other people who aren't going to work as hard for my stuff as I am for my stuff?
Well, also, you have the wherewithal and the go get it.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm willing to reach out to people who know more than me and ask questions.
That's one thing, yeah.
You know, I'm going to say, how do you do this? How can I do that? And a lot of younger artists, not just hip-hop, but rock and other people I've talked to, they kind of got the mind state of, we got it figured out already. Like, we're gigging in Austin, and we're doing a couple of shows in New York, so we're good. And yeah. It's like, not really.
No.
Not really. You know what I mean? It's like, it's deeper, you know, sustainability. I'm all about sustainability for myself as an artist and for teaching others that. Because Austin is real, like I tell people all the time, Austin is real good at teaching you how to be a musician, right? We're good to show you how to play a guitar. We got tons of guitar schools. We're good about, you know, how to go to a club and ask the booking agent how to get booked, right? There's a lot of panels on how to make a press release and all these type of things. But we rarely have anything that teaches musicians how to be businessmen and women past the lifespan of your album. So once you put a record out with the mind state of the consumer now, it's about your record might have a 6 month, maybe a year span, depending on your financial backing and your push. So after that, what do? You got to try to recoup funds to put out your next record to sustain off that first buzz. So you got to find other ways to sustain yourself past that record. So when the record is done, you're still making money off of it. Like I'm still making money off albums. Album number 15 I did, album number 10 I did, album number 5 I did. Because I was able to think ahead as far as publishing, licensing, how to own that music so that, you know, that revenue can sustain me if I'm not gigging, which is why I don't have to go out and, you know, rap every weekend.
Yeah.
Because I have other things already out there floating around doing stuff for me.
Okay. I mean, that's good. You've got a good business sense. You know where you're going with it.
Yeah.
You're also community minded.
Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of community minded,
yes,
I spent a lot of the last few days. We are recording this the day after Donald Trump's acceptance speech. Don't, so it's Friday, the day after. I'm not throwing that into it. I'm just saying, like, there's this thing in the air.
Exactly.
That this vibe has been thrown out, and all this shit is going on everywhere.
There's a lot in
racially.
The air. Yeah.
Last night in his speech, he accused the president of bringing racism back. And I don't want to get so much into that, but what I was very shocked about was yesterday the Austin police released a video right up the street, like maybe a couple of blocks up from where I live.
That was a year old.
That was a year old. No one had seen it before.
Yep.
And I watched Art Acevedo's press conference yesterday at 6 about it. And I don't know if you probably know by the time this comes out what it was. And I don't know. Sometimes. Okay, so 95% of the time when you see one of those videos, you basically know what happened.
Right.
But there is a 5% like, oh, well, wait.
Of course.
What led up to this and what was going on. But a black lady was dragged out of her car very violently and then put in the back and then... I can't remember exactly what the officer in the car said, but he was like,
Black people are scary.
Yeah,
the black lady, she was a teacher. So she said that she wanted to know why she was thrown around so violently.
Right.
Because she was thrown from car to car by her arms, head, everything, you know. And so she was sitting, and she was very calm when she was talking to the police officer in the back of the car. Like, she wasn't screaming. She wasn't F you, whatever.
Right.
She was like, why? Yeah. Is this happening? He was like, oh, she said, you know, do you think racism still exists? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, then the officer volunteered the next bit of information. Like, she didn't ask all this other stuff. He said, well, you want me to tell you why? because black people have violent tendencies.
That's right.
And they scare the community. And I don't blame white people for being scared of black people. That's what the cop said, which was amazing that a cop is, you know, that comfortable saying that, like, oh, you know, knowing that he's being recorded. Because when you watch the video, after the girl is thrown around, the other cops asked the main officer who was throwing her, did it happen right here, like in front of the cruiser, so it could be on camera. So they knew they were being recorded. They knew they were being videotaped. And he still expressed that view to her, which was like, you know, it, most people in the African-American community, we're not shocked by that.
No, you're not shocked by that because you know it. Yeah, and then the people that aren't in that community go like, no, surely that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, come on.
But yes, I don't think that way.
Yeah, it's been happening for years. It was just like, you know, just like when NWA was rapping about it and we were in Texas, like, wow, what's going on in L.A.? We don't see that here. Like, late 80s, you know, we're like, huh? Cops are doing what?
Yeah.
And then Rodney King happens.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wow, they were kind of telling the truth. Yeah. So then it started spreading. And then you had, like, Spoonie G, Philadelphia. You had other rappers who were talking about their issues in their towns, in their states. And then it just started growing. Yeah, you were like,
wait a minute. It's a national epidemic.
Yeah, you were like, wait a minute, you know, because at that point in time, Austin was still kind of looked at as like a small town, mm-hmm. like late 80s or whatever. So a lot of those big city issues weren't as prevalent and shown as they are now. But now it's like it's everywhere. It's like you can't avoid it. And with me being an African-American male, I experience it more because I know that when I walk outside, even to come here to do an interview, I might get pulled over, I might get shot, I might get dragged out of my car, I might meet a cop who's having a bad day, whatever, and that could happen. But I could also meet a really nice cop who's really nice and says, I'll give you a warning, slow down, whatever, you know. So I don't put all cops into that bowl of they're all bad. You know what I mean? But you never know who, you know, the odds are very high in my case that I might meet somebody who just like, especially with the atmosphere now, that they might be like, oh, well, I could just do what I want to do now because none of us go to jail. None of us get convicted, you know, whatever. All the most police departments, when these things happen, they say they're going to do more training. They're going to do an overview. They're going to do racial consulting or something.
I don't understand the training. They're like, don't.
Yeah, don't abuse people.
Don't hate people that aren't you.
Exactly.
Or of your nationality. But it's all
you know, it's always the same excuse. And they say, we're going to put the officer on administrative paid duty so they can kick it for a little bit till this blows over. And then all of a sudden that officer is back out working because nobody asks anymore. Wait, what happened to that officer that was a year ago?
Right. And the thing is I think that what's happening now, and I don't think it's happening that much more than it did before. It's just now that it's a hot topic,
yep.
It's being everything is being reported.
Yeah, yep. And with phones, you know, we got phones and video everywhere.
Right?
So, you know, you can tape it the minute it happens. You know, like the guy in Minnesota who got shot in the car with his girlfriend.
That was unbelievable.
With his daughter in the back seat. And the girlfriend basically live Facebooked the aftermath of the shooting. Like, that's the age we live in now, where it's instantaneous, where you can see it. And to see that clip, you know that the officer basically felt he did something wrong because his hand is shaking while he's holding his gun. His voice is trembling, like, ah, you know, so he knew he did something wrong. And he's like, how am I going to fix this, you know? And like the guy who got shot the other day, the therapist, did you see that? With
I don't know, it's happening so much. There's a guy,
there was a guy who's a therapist who was with an artistic
oh,
man.
Artistic, yes, I did see that.
And had his hands up in the air, he was laying on the ground, and he got shot.
Still shot him, yeah, but they said they were shooting the other
guy. The cop said he was trying to shoot the artistic guy and shot him instead. Yeah, yeah, I was like, come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
So
that leads up to
the fact that you've decided to do something about it.
Yes.
By taking action in art.
Exactly.
Art in action.
Art in action.
And you've started a project called Black Mics Matter.
Yes.
And you have a GoFundMe page set up to fulfill this. And this is a compilation album. Let me read this real fast because I wrote it down and I really liked it. It's a new project that will feature new artists with stories of passion and solutions for the black community and the world during these challenging times we're in. I added challenging, by the way.
That's good, because it's true.
It is.
Yep.
It is. And it's a circular thing that perpetuates itself the more, just the more anger happens and the less conversation about it.
Exactly.
And so what are you hoping to achieve with Black Mics Matter?
Well, you know, a couple of things, you know what I mean? One is that we can show that we can actually take action and voice our opinions, because more people will listen to us through our music than they will if we're out picketing with signs. Because when you see somebody picketing and protesting and marching with signs, the first thing you're like is, oh, that's going to block traffic. Or let's wait till them finish. Or they're only.
I think people in Austin are particularly sensitive.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, oh, I'm trying to get to the, you know, to Barton Creek and they're blocking Barton Springs. Yeah. You know, or, you know, we march or something for a day and then it's over with. It's not a sustainable thing. Whereas music leaves a living document of that moment, of that time, of what people are expressing and what they're feeling. So fans of mine, fans of the other artists that are being involved, they will pick this up. Other allies, people who don't have to be Black but support our cause and support what's right, can go get the album and listen to it and listen to the stories of the youth. You know, listen to first person tales of abuse, of success, of happiness, of pain. Like, not all the songs are like downers, you know, like everything is bad. There are songs up there to uplift as well, because we need to do both. We need to have the realization of the sadness that's going on, but also provide solutions on how we can better that moment and better this time, so future generations can learn from our mistakes, so they can pick up this music years, eons from now and be like, oh, this is what happened in the world at this time, and this is what they tried to do to fix it. So I'm hoping that the music can really just bring people together and show that us as musicians can really take charge of our pain and what's going on and present something to the world and say, hear my voice. No, this is my voice. Hear me roar. Check it out.
That's awesome.
Yep. So, you know, I'm just...
What is your role in it? You're organizing it. You're producing it.
Yeah.
You're
organizing
executive producing it.
Executive producing it. I'm organizing the artists.
How are you picking out the artists? Do you know people that particularly you know what? I like what this guy has to say.
There are some that I'm handpicking, and I also I also put it out on Facebook, like, artists send me music. So I've gotten so much music. But the music, I'm really being particular about it because it has to fit the theme of the album. You know, so I don't want a whole record of I'm the best rapper in the world, because that's not the point of this record.
Right. Oh, shit.
Oh, damn, Gowdy.
Oh, man. Hang on a second. Will you hit stop on that?
Right up.
Okay, sorry, guys. I just spilled my iced coffee on the ground.
No, you're supposed to say we had an FBI moment.
The FBI knew we were talking about this.
Exactly.
And they came in, they were like, no more. So, where were we? Where are you at right now with putting together the compilation?
Right now I'm at the combining of the songs area.
Okay.
Where I have a bunch of music and I'm trying to sequence it and getting a couple of guest features. I have some spoken word artists, have some female rapper artists. I have a brother, Robert Muhammad, from the Nation of Islam, who's doing a piece on there. And I'm trying to just get artists and community leaders on one project together. Mm-hmm. You know, and the record's going to be for free. I'm not selling it. So, you know, there's no profit that's going to be made from that, revenue generated from that. It's going to be given away, because I think me giving it away gives it better access to people.
That's awesome.
Because you don't have to think about, okay, do I have $5 to download this thing? You just go there and you're going to be able to get it in a little bit. So I'm all about taking actions. I'm a doer.
Is this something that is like a volume one? You're going to want to do another one?
Exactly.
You're going to want to keep it as a movement?
This is volume one. There's going to be more volumes. I'm already talking with other artists that I know in other cities. So there's going to be a Black Mics Matter Atlanta.
Oh, awesome.
Black Mics Matter Minneapolis. Black Mics Matter New York. And so all that's already in place.
Where is this going to be available? Like on Spotify?
Yeah, it's going to be on Bandcamp. Yeah, it's going to be on Bandcamp. So when I launch it, you know, everybody will know about that. So yeah, it's going good, man. And I'm getting a lot of great support of it, and people are really behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because with me being, you know, somewhat known in Austin for doing music, I felt like I might as well use my voice and my influence and do a project like this, so more people will look at it than if another rapper just did it and they were like, oh, that's cool. But if I say this is what I'm doing and check it out, they might be like, oh, okay, well, you know, they believe me more, and they'll follow what I'm doing and they'll go check it out and they'll say, okay, that's cool.
Right. And it's more than just that. You like you get you 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 don't just make music, like, you get shit done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm a doer, man.
You're a doer.
Yeah.
So people can go to the GoFundMe page. They can go to tdouble.com and find it through there.
Exactly.
And also go through your 7 bazillion albums that you have. 27 albums,
27.
Dude.
20, and those are just the ones I've released. For every album that I put out, I probably make 2 albums in the process of that album. Because every record I put out, I record maybe 20 to 30 songs per record. And then I narrow that down to 10, 13 songs. So I have tons of music that's just everywhere. My hard drives are filled up. I had to buy two new hard drives because I have so much music that's just sitting on there.
Yeah. You're friends with AJ Vallejo, right?
Yes.
He went and had like an extra terabyte of shit put in his thing. So with the Black Mics Matter, is that's going to come out just on Bandcamp?
Yeah,
it's going to be available to everyone. Are you going to have a show?
That's what I was thinking of doing. I'm thinking of maybe doing a listening party, maybe a show, something like that. You know, it depends on what I can do with venues, because that's a whole nother animal. Like, will a venue let me do it for free? What can we agree upon or whatever? But I think nowadays, in the age that we're at, more people will quickly run out and download the record more than they will probably go to a show and sit around for 3 hours and listen to music and hear us talk. I might do a panel about it and get some of the artists together, maybe get some city leaders together and you know, hold a big panel discussion on race, music, hip hop, all these things that are happening right now. So the panel might happen before a listening party, but people can definitely will be able to go download it at, you know, gofundme.com/blackmicsmatter and you know, donate, support the movement, be an ally, and let's make a change in the world.
Is this going to be tied into the Urban Artists Alliance at all?
Somewhat, you know what I mean? Because some of the artists that are on it, I have consulted through the Urban Artists Alliance.
Okay.
And so that's how I've met a lot of the artists at, you know, and I still go to shows. You know, I still go to hip hop shows. Like, you know, I'm not performing at them, but I still show my face and I go support and support the younger artists and say, keep doing it, keep adding to the scene. Because we're all a continuation of what came before us. So I want the new artists to be, you know, better than I was, more prepared than I was, and, you know, better musicians than I was, and businessmen and all that. So I go there and just give them that support and let them know, hey, you know, I'm here for you. So a lot of these artists I've consulted with, a lot of them have gone on to do great things and have great things lined up. And some of these artists are fresh out the bedroom, like new artists nobody's ever heard before. And they're, you know, they've only performed maybe once or twice. And I'm putting them on this compilation to say, you know, it's time for you to shine a little bit.
Yeah. There's a guy I met through the show that he's a white guy. Do you know Eric Dingus?
Yes.
He works a lot with the League of Extraordinary G's and
sure
stuff.
Do. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
He's a talented cat as well.
Yep.
Out there doing some good stuff.
He's working. It's, you know what I mean? It's a hard process. You know, when you get a couple of good placements, like the stuff he's done with Drake and other people getting good placements, it's all about, you know, what's your next placement?
Yeah.
You know, it's all about the next thing. Because, you know, you can only walk, like with Breaking Bad, you know what I mean? I can only walk around and talk about that for so long.
Yeah, before it's like been a show for a while.
Yeah, before it's like, so what else are you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're still talking about that?
Yeah.
And so I live by that myself. You know, you can't live on your last success. You got to keep moving and progressing. And if I'm sitting around and not doing nothing, I feel like I go insane. So I have to make a record. I have to create this compilation. I have to do something because, you know, my mind is always moving and ideas are always happening. And when I came up with Black Mics Matter, I would just sit in my studio and I was just looking at all the stuff on the news and on my Facebook feed. And I was like, man, you know, Black Mics Matter. You know, it just came out because I was like, us urban artists need to voice it a little bit. We need to step up to the plate a little bit instead of sitting back waiting for it to blow over or for somebody else to do something. It's like, a lot of it is political and not going to get to the music. The music is the bottom of the barrel. So a lot of it's not going to trickle down to the music. So we got to fight up from the bottom to the top with our art. So art, you know, like I say, art is action. You know what I mean? How you do your art definitely has a lot to move the world and progress things forward. You know, early hip hop used to be all about that.
Yeah.
Public Enemy, KRS-One, N.W.A. They always had messages. They had their gangster stuff. They had their battle rap stuff, but they always had a message. You know, if you heard a gangster rap song, like, you know, Cool G Rap, Streets of New York, or something that's really bloody and gunshots, the ending was always like, don't do that.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I died because I did that.
Yeah.
So you do this. There was always how not to be that, where a lot of songs now, they just stay gangster and all that all the way through it.
Yeah.
So the young people who are listening to those songs, they think I have to be that, and they don't see that they don't see the sunshine at the end of that. They're just in the gray cloud. So our voices are powerful, and you know, and if I can use mine to bring awareness to it, even if it's on a small scale, even if it's with a compilation, it's going to make somebody else hear about it, talk about it, add to the discussion, add to the dialogue, maybe change some views and opinions that they had before about African-Americans, about hip hop, about both of those things at once. Then I think, you know, it's a success and I've done my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
you know, Andy Langer retweeted a thing of a tweet that you did. Not that I'm like, hey, great tweet, but that was a great tweet. Like you couldn't believe that people were outside pacifying themselves playing Pokemon Go and all the shit's going on in the world.
Yeah, I think I said they're playing Pokemon Go and I'm trying to play Freedom Go.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. I was surprised that Andy did it. Cause, you know, Andy's like a tastemaker and he's real particular in what he says and what he tweets and so that's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm at a point now in my career where my thoughts have matured and I'm resonating with people now.
How old are you now?
Huh?
How old are you?
43.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like I can say things now and people be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get what he's saying now, you know what I mean? Because I'm not the young battle rapper anymore with an attitude.
Right.
I'm mature and I'm a little bit more grown, so I can say things. You know, I'm real careful of what I say and how I say it. I know young folks are listening to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, will follow the path that I lead, so I got to make sure that I clean a lot of the clutter out the way and keep it as clean as I can for them to walk in after me, so... I'm trying my best. You know what I mean? My mom is proud, so I'm happy.
That's good. She lives here?
Yes. I tell my mom about all my projects. I'm like, I'm going to do this compilation. What do you think? And she was like, about time. If anybody could do it, you can. Because she was a teacher.
Right.
So she's like, if anybody can do it, you can do it. You can do anything you want to do. She's been telling me that since I was 8 years old. You know, so she's like, just go do it. Put your all behind it. If people download it, cool. If they don't, cool. But at least nobody could say you didn't try. That you didn't make an effort.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good thing. Who in town, in the hip hop community, are you like, oh, hey, this guy's, you got to check this guy out?
Like I said, one guy I've gotten some music from lately is a guy named Just Jarvis. He's a young MC, and he used to go to Spider House for the Tuesday hip hop thing. Mm-hmm. He might still go there. But he stayed in contact with me. He's like, every once in a while, here's some new music. I get an email, here's some new music. So when I said I'm doing this compilation, he was one of the first ones like, check out this song I wrote that kind of fits that theme, but he didn't know where to put it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because everybody wants to be a dope battle rapper or this. So when you release a song that has, you know, depth and dynamics to it and a point to it, a lot of people don't want to hear it. So he was like, what am I going to do with this? And I was like, man, I'll put it on the compilation. You know, so I'm really digging him. Anya, a female MC, she's on a compilation. And she, you know, she's dope. She, you know, she can spit. She got charisma. She got stage presence. So I'm really digging her. You know, there's a bunch of artists that are up and coming who are in that tweaking phase, who are like learning how to perform, learning how to write songs, learning how to be better as, you know, businessmen and all that. So the scene is only going to get better. You know what I mean? This is far from the end of it. Like I say, that, you know, for the Black Mics Matter, this is just volume one.
Yeah.
I look at this as probably, you know, at this point in time with the discussions I've had, I can see this being at least 10 volumes. And as it grows, I definitely want to get the city more involved, sponsorships, endorsements, partnerships, and really, you know, take this on a bigger campaign. Like, this should be on the side of a bus somewhere. This should be a banner somewhere. You know, this should be a billboard somewhere. This should be front page of the Chronicle or something. You know, it's that serious of an issue that it's not going anywhere anytime soon, as you see with, you know, Republican conventions and candidates and people ideas and what they're talking about. Racism is not going anywhere anytime soon. So these issues will stay here for a while. So if we come together as a partnership or a community, then we can work together to say, you know, we want happiness. We want fair balance. We want community. We want love for each other and justice. And we can put all that together and mix it together. And then, you know, we'll be all right, man.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm a believer in that. You know what I mean? I think of the positive. I know there's the negative because, you know, I come from the east side of Austin and I grew up with a lot of the negative energy here. And a lot of my friends lost their lives and went to jail for it. And I was able to get out of that. So I know that a lot of artists on the east side and older artists, they respect me for that. That's why when I do Black Mics Matter or different events or Urban Artists Alliance, they support it because I'm one of them that didn't get sucked into that belly of the beast.
Yeah.
So they rally behind me and like, you know, T, we love you, man. Like, keep doing it. So, you know, I'm blessed. I'm blessed that I got friends on all sides of the spectrum that, you know, take the time out to listen to what I got to say. You know, and thank you for, you know, always opening up your house to let me come in here and share it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm very appreciative. I take nothing for granted because it could all be gone
tomorrow. I think
tomorrow.
When we first met, you told me this great story about writing Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. That was when, that's our,
that anybody that does that is going to be a lifelong friend of mine. Yeah, how old were you when you did that? You were...
I was 9 years old.
That's so fucking that, cool, man.
That's what, I mailed him my first demo at 9 years
that's
old.
What and you that's what
And that's, you know, at from that point, you know, at 8, I was really deep into making demos. At 9, I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to mail them.
Yeah.
I think
Let's
it's good
what
enough.
We can do. They and, signed Prince.
And since then, you know, I mean, that, you know, I knew then I wanted to be in the music business.
Yeah.
And now as I'm getting older, I see I want to be more into the education business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my mom always wanted me to be a teacher, and I was like, no, I'm going to do this rap thing. I'm going to do this hip-hop thing. And now since I'm evolving into more educational stuff, she's like, I knew you would get there eventually.
Were there guys ahead of you that mentored you?
Yeah. Yeah, you
What's
know.
What's that?
There was a, there used to be a DJ here named DJ Casanova.
Oh, yeah.
And he lives in Miami now. There was a guy named Andre Walker, who was, you know, one of the first early guys at South by Southwest doing hip-hop. He and his wife also did R&B showcases. Because if you notice at South by, there's not that many R&B showcases. Well, years ago, he was doing that. Oh, and then there was a guy before him named Kier Worthy, who worked for Def Jam Records and all that stuff. So, you know, I was just a young guy, you know. I would just go to them and ask them questions, or I would just hang out. Or if Casanova had a gig, I would want to learn to produce or carry his records. I just wanted to be around guys who were really doing it. So I could just soak up all the information, ask the right questions, and, you know, and it worked for me, you know. And with those guys giving me information freely, right, they weren't like, well, I'm not going to tell you, or you got to pay me to know, whatever. I'm that type of way now with younger artists. You know, if they ask me something, I tell them, hey, this is what you do. Try this. This is what worked for me. This is what didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, you just put it to the times and what you're doing now. And, you know, and obviously my model of business and music has worked because I'm still sustainable.
Yeah.
I'm still a viable artist many, many years later. You know, I know how to reinvent myself in my art, in my music, in my style, in my business. And I know not to just hang my hat on being a dope rapper.
Right.
I know I need my business, my licensing, my community, my advocacy. You know, you need to have all those things to be a complete person, not, you know, not just, you know, a complete artist. So I'm a work in progress like everybody else is.
Yeah. And you've easily, as you've gotten older, you've eased into being the advocate and kind of a voice for the hip hop community in Austin.
Totally.
And
totally.
Trying to do that is, where are the good, like, hip hop shows now?
Oh, man, that's a tough one because there's no set venue.
Doesn't League of Extraordinary G's does like a thing? Because I was talking to Jackie Benson the other day, and I was like, do you go to the Antone's Blues thing? She said, I used to. I don't really go there that much because it's very structured when you go to this other thing that League of Extraordinary G's has somewhere on East 12
yeah,
or there, something.
Yeah, there's a thing on Wednesday nights at a Dozen Street, and that's like with a live band.
Yeah,
they do some covers, but it's real loose, too. Like, I've been there and freestyled and all that. So that's going on.
Well, she said that they do. Sometimes they just go off on some, like, in some shit you've just never heard.
Yeah, they'll just vamp.
You don't even know what it is that they're
doing. Yeah, they'll just vamp out and do some stuff. I know that Austin Mike Exchange, which used to be on Tuesdays, is now on Wednesdays. And they also have a producer type of portion where producers can bring their MPCs, their drum machines, and they can make beats, and rappers can rap over that, and it's real free-flowing. So that's going on. But everything else is... Oh, there's another thing on Wednesdays at Gatsby's with DJ Notion, and he's been a DJ and a promoter in Austin for a long time, so he's doing that where he books bands, open mics, record releases. So if I do a Black Mics Matter thing, it might be there. So there are a few things that are, you know, mainstays that are happening, but the rest is wherever they can find a venue. You know, wherever they can find a place to do it, they'll do it. So you never know what's going to happen till it's announced or promoted. So that's the only thing. But, you know, there's still artists bubbling, and there's still people who are trying to do things. You know, I want ACL and Fun 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 Fest and the new Sound on Sound Fest. I want all those things to really embrace local hip-hop a little bit more and give us some better time slots. Give us a little bit of the promotion that you're using. When you bring a bigger act down, you know, if you bring Run DMC, say Run DMC and just Jarvis. You know what I mean? Like, because you can't just build up the rock scene and give them headlining spots and good promo. You got to build up the urban, jazz, and the Latin community as well. Those are three segments that are, like, way off the radar as far as Austin music, hip-hop, Latin,
and jazz. Seems like Latin gets a good shake here, I think.
You know.
I might be wrong.
Somewhat, you know what I mean? Like, they had the Panjinga Fest for a while, and then that stopped, which was the Vallejo's festival. So that stopped. And so they're kind of doing their, you know, every, like, hip-hop and Latin are kind of doing their own thing in their own neighborhoods, in their own side of towns. But we need to mesh it together and get it downtown and make it a little bit more part of the fabric, you know, because you can't really have the fabric of Austin music without all the thread.
Right.
There's so many pieces of the thread that are just unraveling, so the blanket is coming apart. We need to re-sew it up.
It seems also like the focus in this town is songwriters, guitar players, and rock and Americana,
which is to be expected,
and country.
Yeah,
but there is all kinds of music here.
Yep, and that's why people move here every day. You know, every day you meet somebody who moved here with a guitar on their back or an MPC under their arm.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
And say, hey, you know, I moved here to do music. I'll meet people at the coffee shop, you know, who are serving coffee or somewhere, and they're like, where's the shows? Where can I go play? I want to set up and play at Kick Butt Coffee, or I want to go do this and that. So people are coming here, but we need to make more of a nurturing environment for when they get here.
Yeah.
Because if not, then, you know, when you have a hard flood and the ground doesn't absorb all the water enough, so it just sits, and then it gets stagnant, and then there's ants, and then there's flies, and there's maggots, and there's nothing happening. It takes the hottest of heats before it goes away. We need to make the soil very, very nurturing. So when the water drops get here from out of town, they can just soak right in there and
come up,
bloom up as beautiful sunflowers.
Very well said. Well, everyone get out there. Go to tdouble.com. Go to the Black Mics Matter GoFundMe page, which is GoFundMe.org?
.com.
Oh, .com.
Yeah.
/ Black Mics Matter. M-I-C, like microphones.
Yes.
And definitely pick up T-Double's new EP, Ambassador Status, his 27th release.
Lord have mercy.
And people can follow you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yes.
You're on SoundCloud.
I'm on all that. Just, you know, go to Google or go to wherever and type in T-Double, type in Ambassador Status, type in Austin Hip Hop, type in any of that, and I should pop right up like Jack in the Box.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming by again. Thank Is there anything you. That I'm missing? Is there something else?
No, just, you know, tell everybody, you know, love each other, care for each other, you know, be the friends that we say we are on Facebook, be that in real life, and you know, the world will be a better place if people tried as hard in real life to be friends as they do online to add friends.
Right. I'm glad we're friends.
I'm glad we're friends.
The table plus two by the window. So I move over easy, pulled out the chair in the old wood, creaky, dead stare, a smirk of revenge. Suddenly it hit me, I remember.
T-Double, pick up his EP, Ambassador Status, just came out. You can find it on SoundCloud, on iTunes, wherever the music is being played or sold or streamed. Get into it. Don't forget, you can get involved with Black Mics Matter. Go to their GoFundMe page. Go to tdouble.com to get involved with that. They're trying to reach their goal and get this album out. It's an important album for our whole music community, but most importantly for the hip-hop community. Black Mics Matter. Let's do it, right? I want to thank T-Double for coming by. I always have a great time talking to that dude. I like him a lot. That was like his third or fourth time on the show. T-Double, 27 albums. Ambassador Status available now. Don't forget, while you're out there checking out T-Double stuff, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher if that's the way that you choose to listen to your podcast. Don't forget you can like our Facebook page and see lovely photos and get updates from me. You'll see a lovely photo of me and T-Double up there. All right? I hope you guys all have a great, great week and enjoy some more music from the fabulous T-Double and his EP, Ambassador Status. Let's get down.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Man, I started from struggling. I grew up from nothing. My mom was a teacher, my dad was just buffing. The floors in the hospital ward on the day that I was born, cause we really couldn't afford nothing. Or taking a day off, face a layoff. These times are hard, so I say y'all, we gonna make it, acting all grown up. Black Wall Street, let's create some owners. And in this music, this how they get you. They catch you young, then they just sit you down with some bums who don't love you. They taking your crumbs before they dump you. See what some do, multi-rights it. No brainwash like ultraviolet, ultra-silent. You watched it happen, they talk about the youth and you're rapping. What? How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I came from the pain to the top where I stand. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I stood in the rain with my future in hand. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I came from the pain to the top where I stand. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I stood in the rain with my future in hand. And my father told me, watch the closest. Those be the ones to flip without notice. They smile and dap you like they support you. They find a few lies and they quick to extort you. If they talking money and they ain't got none, they looking at yours, boy, but cause you got some. Who's the hot one? I watch them bandwag hop from team to team. Man, I just can't stand that. They feel uneasy cause I just stated they falling behind, so unmotivated. Looking for handouts, a way to just stand out, but not doing the chores like many did before. You're new to the town, huh? Like you've been around, huh? You saying we country, you better get from around us. See where the crown was, stand behind the line. You wanna go toe to toe, this isn't my first time. And how you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I came from the pain to the top where I stand. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I stood in the rain with my future in hand. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I came from the pain to the top where I stand. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I stood in the rain with my future in hand. Now this ain't a dice game, this is a life game. Many lost out, killed or tossed out. I've seen white things given to white folks. We got hard time and they got nice boats. Your environment defines retirement. Find your best shirt, lay it down and iron it. Before your mama come and put a red rose on it. Rudolph came around but no red rose on him. He lived next door, spoke of it like war. Pimping and hustling, I seen a cousin. Sometimes I'm cussing, it gets me upset. See, you too young in this world, you don't know what to expect. You better talk to an old cat, cause he got some cold facts. Under that low hat, man, he seen it all. Oh, you cool with your J-Zone, is that why you stay gone? Keep running around, you keep it up and you fall. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I came from the pain to the top where I stand. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I stood in the rain with my future in hand. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I came from the pain to the top where I stand. How you gonna tell me I'm not, but I am? See, I stood in the rain with my future in hand.